This is my last talk on commerce during this 2-week seminar. But the commerce, even as a term, is very popular for the people who start to study Buddhism. But usually, commerce is translated as action. If you use the English term action, but it is a little different sense between from the karma in Sanskrit. Karma is not the subject action. If you use the term karma, strictly speaking, karma emphasizes on unmanifest karma, unmanifest action, unmanifest of, say, karma, impression, which means impression left by your doing. If you use the action in English, that is an action, that is a manifest karma which appears on self-worth. If you understand karma like this, your life becomes decadent because manifest karma action always appear, disappear, doesn't stay for long. But as you know, people, as you feel something from the something related with human action through your reality, through your daily living, you can realize there is always something continued from yesterday, from the past, anyway, up to now, and also which will continue toward the future too. So you can realize this, something being continued from the beginning of past to the future. And also we have all the questions, big questions related with the problem of life and death. And, our life in this world is end or not. This life will continue to the future or next life, or this life is exactly end. Well, this is a big question. That's why from century to century, we try to know what happens after death, discussing about the continuation, whether the life will continue or not. Even though we don't understand, we don't realize, we don't find a definite proof, okay? Yes, life is eternal, but no one finds a proof. Intellectually, okay? Intellectually. Or according to sciences, whatever, religiously or metaphysically, no one can find this proof. But still there is something you cannot ignore, because if you say life this life is exactly end. You really feel unstable. You can't stand up there. And also, if I say, yes, life is eternal, still you don't feel comfortable because you want to know what is eternity. So whatever I say, what Buddha says about problem of life and death, still there is a question. Even though you don't understand, through your daily living, you cannot ignore. Life is, anyway, seems to continue. Seems to continue. If you say life is end, this life is exactly end. When the death comes, well, you cannot have hope. You cannot have any effort to do something for all sentient beings. So your life will naturally decadent. Chaos. No hope. Cold. Even though we cannot find a definite proof whether life is eternal or not, we can feel something. If you ignore this feeling, well, you cannot stand up in the human world. So, from century after century anyway, what is eternity? What's going on after death? How can we explain this feeling, which we believe in life is eternal? How can we explain? So, after century after century anyway, human beings have, anyway, thought about this. Finally, in Buddhism, we find, anyway, teaching of karma. in ancient time, when the Buddha was alive, already Buddha used the term karma, but this karma he didn't explain logically or metaphysically about karma. This simple statement in Sanipada and Dhammapada, in Agama, very simple explanation against the system of caste or caste system in India. Do you know? When you are born of family, noble family, you become a noble person from the beginning to end. So you couldn't marry with janitor or soldier, so you have to anyway get married with anyway noble person. So this is sort of the priests and the soldiers and also slaves and one more thing please. Four category of caste, okay. Human classification. Okay. But Buddha was really against this system. So Buddha, that's why yesterday I told Buddha says birth, neither Brahmin nor non-Brahmin makes life and conduct. Molds the Brahmin too. So, what is what? And what is to make your life decide as priest or slave or river or anything else, painter or sportsman, etc. Only by conduct is common human action. If you act just like of poor players at that time, you are poor player. Anyway, so by karma, your life is defined. This is Buddha's opinion. but if you say like this, the term karma is used in simplest way, because within this statement there are two things, cause and the effect, simultaneously together there. If you act something, then you become something, so that is result. If I steal something from your pocket, $10 from the pocket, I become lovely. Lovely. So that is effect and also cause. Cause to effect comes from what? This is very important for us. Cause effect is not only the manifest karma, but also we have to think unmanifest karma, because even though you do something, you cannot say that there is always the result. That's why there are three kinds of retribution. Retribution experienced in the once present life, in the next life, in one subsequent life. So this is how to, because you do something and immediately you can get the result, but this is the prayer. So still, even though you cannot get the result, still you can get the result. When this life, next life, life after next life too. So this karma is that's why when with the development of Buddhism in history, the term karma is very esoteric, in other words, popularized, using just action. That's why people misunderstand this karma. It's not just action. That's why when Buddhism is systematized by Abhidhamma Kosha, Abhidhamma Shastra, this is the oldest Buddhist psychology. Okay, all terms are very carefully defined. Okay. So, then naturally, there is a systematized explanation of karma. Okay, because people use the karma in wrong ways, just action. But it's not just action. So, because action is something which appears and disappears, but simultaneously still it is remaining toward the future. Even though you don't know, but you can realize it through the reality. So finally, Abhidhamma Kosha says, karma is divided into two, that is manifest karma and unmanifest karma. This unmanifest karma is anyway continuing forever. This unmanifest karma appears as a retribution in this life or in the next life or in the life after next. So from this point, karma you have done never disappear. Never disappear. From this point, okay, from this point, don't misunderstand. Okay, if you understand the karma, human life according to karma, what never disappear. At that time, people will fall into pessimism, okay, fatalism. But I don't think so, okay? That's why yesterday I told karma is a sort of the finish. Because without karma, you cannot get into human life. Okay, human life. Karma is, anyway, sankara according to 12 causation. This is a very basic human motion, human movement, which leads you to get into the gate of the human world. So that is just like a vitality in life. You don't know what, but already you are there. Okay? You are in the human world. Okay? So why you are born as American? Why was I born as a Japanese? I don't know. Why my mouth is just like this? I don't know. Someone asked me when I said there and the white thing, Karagin, why your mouth is like this? I don't know. Why were you born in the world as American? Same question. But already there is, you are here. Already there is your presence. So why? It's very common. Okay? Vitality of life. That vitality of life is just energy. Just energy. This energy is nothing but a really dynamic motion, okay? Motion movement. From this point, the unmanifest karma is stored in individual life, okay? But unmanifest karma are completely nothing but the energy. Okay. You turn to energy. Whatever you do in the past, good or bad or neutral, all the actions return to you and store in your life. As beyond nature of good or bad or neutral. Okay. This is the energy. But that energy stored in your storage, okay? That storage completely closed the door, okay? But that door, no one touch. No one can open it. But only there is the one thing you can open it. That is time and occasion and condition. The condition. By condition, time and occasion, the door of storage open, something come up, just like a bubble. Time and occasion and conditions are very complicated, okay? Very complicated, because you have to understand that time and occasion and the conditions related with all sentient beings. This is a condition, but conditions are free, completely free. So you can make, you can create condition. You can create opportunity. You can create time. So, all we tend to do is what kind of opportunity or condition we should create. That is the point, okay, always. Because karma is, anyway, something continued forever, but it is already stored in your life beyond moral category of moral sense. Okay? But it appears sometime. How? By your effort? No. By your condition. The condition of opportunity you create, you make, and then it come up. So, condition, time, and occasions are really something free, okay? Free. Wherever you may go, you can create. From moment to moment, new condition, create new condition. For instance, if you come here and attend 2 weeks of sessions and you feel good today, tomorrow you don't feel good, so you can go away. Okay? If you like, you can stay. If you don't like, you can go away anytime, anywhere. Or if you want to scream here, you can scream. But you have already intellectual or noble or smart or clever person, so you can't scream. Mm-hmm. Oh, but maybe if you are crazy, you can scream. So anyway, there is always the conditions and opportunities. So open to everybody. It is always free. Okay? That is your life. If you like Zen, you can study. If you don't like, please leave anytime. You go to Christianity, whatever it is. So that is what is called emptiness. If you use technical term, okay? Emptiness. Or co-interdependent origination. Well, you can use this term. But the term is prepared. That's why I said that I explain it simply like that. Okay. Because if we use the term emptiness, karma is emptiness. Karma is, okay, according to my talk, first characteristic of karma is, anyway, the manifest karma and unmanifest karma, which never disappear. And also this unmanifest karma is yours as a property, as an inheritance. You never get away. And sorry for you anyway, this is individual life. Why? You can't. This is one point, okay? Second point is karma is empty. Karma is empty. Karma is nothing but energy or occasion and condition. Nothing but. That's all. So from this point, you can say karma is anyway your inheritance, okay? Or property, your own property. The other hand, karma is empty. So it's very contradictory. But if you use the term karma is empty, okay, emptiness, okay. At that time we misunderstand karma. Well, karma is empty, emptiness. Why don't you do as you like? If you, I don't want to explain the koan, dogen, denji, in Sanji Go retribution in the three times. Okay. let me explain this. I want to say about the Buddha's karma today, okay? Buddha's karma is not the empty. Karma is emptiness. Or karma is not something inherent. What seems to be a sort of a ghost haunting over your head. That is bad karma. Mm-hmm. Always. If you believe karma, you did in the past, and it continues forever, at that time karma becomes the monster, the ghost in front of you. It's really scary. So Buddha's karma is not you cannot, according to Buddha's karma, you cannot attach to that karma as an inheritance, or you cannot say karma is emptiness. Because if you say karma is emptiness, so first of all, you believe that karma should disappear. Then emptiness here. At that time, emptiness is already ideas. Opposed to karma. It doesn't mean that. Emptiness is complete freedom. Okay? Freedom. So Dogen then point out this. Densha, the master, says, what is karma? Karmic hindrance. One of the monks asked him, what is karmic hindrance? The Geshe Zen Master says, karmic hindrance is nothing but emptiness. Then the monk says, what is the emptiness? Karmic hindrance is emptiness. He said, Geshe Zen Master says, karmic hindrance. The monk didn't understand, what is the karmic hindrance? Geshe says, it's emptiness. Okay? Well, that's why this is the two ideas already. Karmic hindrance, karma, and emptiness. Okay, if you see the karma opposed to emptiness, or if you see the emptiness opposed to karma, already you have to destroy either one of them. Okay? Emptiness or karma. You understand? Otherwise you don't understand. There are two ideas of the karma. Karma is something inherent, okay? So you never destroy it. The other one is karma is nothing but conditions, opportunities, and time. At that time, it's empty, free. So you like a free, okay? Freedom. But if you attach to this, immediately ghost appears. If you try to destroy the ghost, the freedom comes up because you have to live toward the future. Even though you see the ghost, today, I don't like my karma, but you can't stop living in this world. You think so? You have to go. You have to move anyway, from moment to moment, toward the future. So even though you don't want, something compels you to move forward. So finally you are confused. If you attach to either one of them, anyway you are confused. This is not the karma as a Buddha. Karma as a Buddha means karma is very something, they're helping you, and you can learn something. You can learn about human beings and help all such beings. So from this point, okay. Practically, Buddha's karma is not the ideal metaphysical matter, not a metaphysical entity, okay? You can discuss. Buddha's karma is actual practice you have to do. Accepting what? Karma is inheritance. property, never destroyed. Okay? The other one is, anyway, still karma is freedom for you. From this point, okay, you have to accept the box in your daily life. How? According to karma as an inheritance, it is completely what of say reflection as a practice, okay? Reflection upon you. Not guilty, okay? Not guilty. If you feel guilty, that is a ghost, subtle ghost of you. So karma is going on constantly from your past life to the future. That is, you really see the depth of deep, you know, in deep human life, deep state of human life, okay? So very naturally, even though you do, for instance, you say, I do by myself, okay? I don't want to anyone to help me, instead. Of course you can do. Or you say, I do something good always, never mistake. Of course, you can do. Is that true? Are you sure? Mm-hmm. If you believe, you seem to be strong, but it's not strong. It's just like a speech. Dog? Just like a dog named the speech. Speech? Very cute, but always barking at the human being, anybody, because it seems that barking is action is really, it's two aspects. Spit seems to be strong, okay, by barking, okay? Demonstration barking, okay? On the other hand, it doesn't mean it's very weak. In order to protect this huge weakness, he has to bite. Don't you think so? No, you don't. But it's cute. So that's why people like so much. So, you can say, of course, we can do something always good, but if you understand the human life pretty deeply, you cannot say, I never mistake. Fine, if you believe, I don't think so. For instance, don't kill anything. This is a Buddhist precept. Can you observe this precept? Perfect. Kill already. Or walking on the street, you step over to the ant, even though you don't know. Or you kill all the vegetables and eat to support your life. So, exactly, you always commit, well, always break the Buddha's precept. But it's not necessary to disappoint yourself. Okay. Still, Buddha's precept is Buddha's precept. That's because we all always, okay, consciously or unconsciously break Buddha's precept. That's why we need the Buddha's precept. Okay. If you are not break, it's not necessary Buddha's precept. So, if you see Buddha's precept, don't kill. Oh, you already killed. That's why Buddha's precept comes up here. Next, don't steal anything. Well, maybe you steal something. The other day, I went to the Sears. I didn't notice that. And the register's there, and that they paid money in the register. But the register, there is something tiny, I didn't remember what it is, but I took it. I ordered in my hands. I'm waiting. You are a priest. I said, oh, yes, I'm sorry. You know, consciously, unconsciously, you do something wrong. That's what Buddha says from day after day. Please don't kill. Please don't kill. Even though you say, I am good boy. Uh-oh, no. It's really So, that's why that is a karma, which is called karma. Unmanifest karma is going on in your life, okay? You should remember that. And then at that time, you can be humble, modest, okay? Humility, in humility for toward you and toward others. That means reflection practice. That is a practice of reflection upon yourself, okay? According to the karma is emptiness, okay? That is, you can be brave, okay? You can be brave, you can move toward the future, day after day, okay? Without being stuck in the ghost, right, of karma. So, you can move, without being stuck in the result you have done. I don't mean you should ignore without what you have done. Of course we should, because that your action leaves something as an impression in your life. So from this point you should carry, well, whatever you do, okay, in your back. That is reflection. So nevertheless, you cannot stuck there. You should move toward life in the future. This is very emptiness. Karma is empty. So you can move day after day in order to, anyway, develop, deepen your life in order to help all sentient beings according to Buddha's way. And then, very naturally, that is an effort, okay? Right effort. Right effort is not a wide peg, just like a wide peg rushing into, okay? Rushing into determination, ignoring somebody, others around you, kicking out. Just like a business and politics, anyway. Listening to the politics speech, and the politician's speech, each politician criticize and destroy the others. I am a good politician. It seems to be brave, but I don't think this is not the religious way. So, we have to move towards future with bravery, but it doesn't mean kicking out anybody around you. So, we have to reflect humility, humble, and also modest. Nevertheless, your life must be, what to say, majestic and grand. That is very, day by day, you can move toward the future. That is right effort. At that time, karma really become Buddha. Karma really become Buddha. That Buddha's karma is transcending the moral sense. Okay? Karma is something inheritance, or karma is infinite, complete beyond. That is, at that time, that karma becomes Buddha. That karma, Buddha's karma, is not metaphysical discussion. Metaphysical, philosophical discussion. It is actual practice you have to do. Accepting Tori Box, meaning of karma. And then see why? Moon light. That time it's very calm. That is a Dogen understanding on karma. So if you read the karmic retribution in this book, you can understand the meaning of karma. That's why in the Buddhism we have a practice of dependence. Okay, dependence is not apologize in front of your boss. Repentance is that the ritual, religious ritual coming from your deep understanding of human life. Okay, that is repentance. If you always make repentance of your life in front of the boss, this is not real repentance. So in Buddhism we say formless repentance. Okay. No one in front of you. Because repentance comes from very deep understanding of human life. If you really understand karma, you can make repentance very straightforwardly your life, and also we can take one step into human world with Triple Treasure. Okay. We take refuge in the Buddha, we take refuge in the Dharma. This is really bodhisattva life. Okay, bodhisattva. So, do you have any questions?
Dogen Lama's lectures, I think it was the last time, compared St. John of the Cross, and Dogen, and he talked about grace being always present, the general grace in Buddhism, but this idea that there was a similarity between St. John and Dogen in this way. And I wonder if maybe that concept of conditions, the right conditions and time would be a way of getting in contact with that grace, or even maybe you don't even want to use that term.
Grace is not something coming from the heaven or from some other person or from something else. Okay. Grace in Buddhism is anyway actual practice. When you do gassho, okay. When you do gassho, gassho is a human action, okay? Human action. One point is as a inheritance. Okay. Maybe you did in the past. As a Buddhist or not, I don't know. Maybe you are in Indian, one of the Indians, anyway, related with the Buddhist. That's why you can do this now. That's maybe you can understand in that way. On the other hand, gassho is nothing but the energy. On the other hand, gassho is nothing but the time and occasion and condition. Then just do in proper way as best as you can. So that time, gassho is not action you do, gassho becomes Buddha's gassho. Then you can learn something from the gassho. That is great. Grace. It's okay. Well, I don't know why the grace. But I know. But I can't explain. Gassho is, well, if you are, for instance, my second teacher office, it was very strict. whoever, Kasyo, and walking, and the Zazen postures, and the chanting, and using the toilet, or whatever you do, he was very strict. I was funny. I felt funny because it's very formality, you know. You don't like formality. But not only me, everyone doesn't like formality. You know, Kasyo, let's hear it. When you use the toilet, first Kasyo, really, I felt funny. But now I really understand this. This is really great. Really great. So, Sesshin, you don't like sitting without doing anything at the... But I always tell you, whatever you feel, like or dislike, exhaustion, so whatever you do, you think, okay? Whatever you think, anyway, put them aside. And then all you have to do is do your best to desire them with your whole heartedness. That's enough, even for a moment. That is a grace. It's very great. It is sure. Okay? So if grace doesn't come from the somebody's or from heavens or from hell, nobody. Really comes up for me. That from you is really good. Big self. Big self.
What does that mean? Could you say grace is interdependent? Could you say that grace is interdependent?
Yes or not. They're interdependent. Core interdependent origination is, ideas, okay? Ideas.
Okay.
Yes. So, it's not, grace is not ideas. Grace is your life, which is fully alive, vividly. Don't you think so? This is grace. Even though you say, I experience the grace. And then, if your life is messy, it's not grace. Don't you think so? If you experience the grace from heaven or from somewhere. Anyway, grace is supposed to be something to help your life. Not messy. Even a little bit, maybe messy, but not much. So, is that okay? So we can say, of course, yes, I can say yes. Grace is interdependent origination, but it's not. You should write on core interdependent origination.